All right, so in this episode of Chaos and Coffee, it is done live at the Podcast Movement, and you hear me reference a show called Found, and we do a little piece on that. But then, as we went on with the show, we incorporated Found Notes into every story that we did. Did not realize I was going to do that. So, hey, if you're listening from the Found group and you're judging us on creativity, maybe you'd like to listen to the whole thing because we ultimately put Found Notes on the back of every story. So enjoy this Chaos and Coffee.
Well, partner, we got a little chaos in your coffee. It's Chaos and Coffee with the rock god of podcasting, Charles McFall.
And welcome to Chaos and Coffee with the rock god of podcasting. I am Charles McFall. This is my producer, Mike Woodard.
That's right. Producer at large for the Giant Size Team Up Network, sitting in on the show today. Well, I produce this thing, right, too.
And normally, right, I don't have any guests on the show. It's all about the news. It's all about me. It's a tight 30 minutes. We get it in, get it done. We put this on Blog Talk Radio. That is our home base. Mm-hmm. But today, we are at Podcast Movement in Chicago. And this is the first live edition of this show that I've ever done. So
Chicago,
there we go.
Illinois. What, yeah, do they call it? City of the Big Shoulders. The city, yeah, that never sleeps. Miami.
Call it Miami.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about either. So I got three or four headlines today. But of course, in podcasting, you don't really break news. You have, yeah, to cover news. And we know there's a big thing going on in Dallas right now with a shooting.
Yes.
And the reason I'm not going to really cover that today, there's nothing more to talk about. You want the news about the shooting in Dallas, you're going to get 24-hour coverage on CNN. And so what we're going to say is that that's the thing that is going on. I acknowledge it. But we're going to talk about headlines. I'm going to give you something to talk about when you leave the conference. I'm going to give you something to talk about around the cooler, around the table, when you go home and talk to your wife. Some fun headlines, some things to discuss. But I'm going to talk about my experience here a little bit at Podcast,
yeah,
Movement. We went to the Podcast Academy, Academy of Podcaster Awards the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And a show that won, or a show that sponsored, I can't remember if they won or sponsored, but it's a show called Found.
Yeah.
And it's all about finding stories. And there's a little bit of a contest. If you cover their story, you win. I thought it was interesting. I feel like, all right, you know, let me see what this story is. It's, mm-hmm, a found note. And the note I got under my seat was as a handwritten note taped to somebody's windshield or something. Happy 30th, kiddo. It gets better and better. Then it gets worse. Love, DF, or DE. I can't quite tell if that's DE.
And do I understand correctly that the whole idea of a found story or found note like that, that particular note was left on the wrong car?
Well, that was the origination of the story.
Oh,
this particular,
it, okay,
note, I don't know where it came from.
Who knows
from.
Where
it didn't,
yeah,
tell where this particular one.
So but we don't know, like, if that 30th birthday guy ever got the note or not.
Yeah. You don't know. But I love the idea of the whole show that they have there, yeah, where you're looking at somebody else's mail. It's that whole voyeurism that podcasting has, yeah, of seeing into somebody else's life. So with podcasting, we put it out there for you versus, you know, a note that was meant for kiddo.
Sure.
You know, and there. So
and it's interesting to me
that,
in that, you know, you get a slice. You get a little sliver of a story there, mm-hmm, and it's up to us to fill in the holes.
Right.
So we're all going to come up with a different story to,
absolutely,
match that note.
And it says, be creative. The most creative segment will find, you know, win the contest. Like, well, I went with shootings in Dallas. I'm not sure if we're going to get the creative,
yeah,
segment here.
I don't know how creative we're being, but damn it, it's a great show and a good idea.
Yeah. But I've got the chaos. I drank my coffee earlier. I don't,
yeah,
have any coffee,
no coffee with
right
us
now,
right now. They wouldn't let us bring it in because, you know, spills.
File this under What Is Wrong With People. This news story is from rare.us.
Uh-huh.
Is covered there. Drunk 19-year-old babysitter with four kids in the car gives the dumbest excuse imaginable, police say. All right. And now Mike's going to ride along. He's going to give some reactions to these stories. I read part of the story, I comment on it. We'll go from there.
Yeah.
Don't worry, officer. Every person who's my age partakes in highly illegal activities such as these. This has to be the worst official explanation for driving drunk with four kids in the car we've ever seen. Sabrina Marcy, who is 19, who will clearly never get a job as a babysitter again, faces serious charges after a concerned citizen saw her stumbling around a parking lot in Mount Sinai, New York, looking for her car. Now, here you go, Mike. In the car, mm-hmm, there was four kids, ages 4 to 11.
Holy.
She's high, she's drunk, and a concerned citizen called the police and blocked the exit to the parking lot or whatever.
As concerned citizens will.
Right. And so they actually had an account that the news writers actually could not get to her Twitter account, but there's something called a VCSO page. I don't,
okay,
know what,
yeah,
that is,
yeah,
but it's public. And on her public page, there's her rolling weed, there's her partying and drinking, and there's her,
yeah,
and not much of nothing. And this quote is awesome. The news story says, maybe this quote will come in handy now. The past is gone. Don't let your mind make you overthink or dwell on mistakes. You're able to recreate yourself every day. Let's go and restart.
Yeah, girlfriend needs a bit of recreation.
19 years old, drunk and high.
And if I understand...
She's a babysitter.
If I understand this correctly, the whole excuse beyond the incident itself boils down to, well, officer, everybody does it.
Yeah.
No.
That was her excuse. That
everybody her does not do what she was doing. And not only do I want to, you know, in a completely non-sexual way, turn girlfriend over my knee and spank her ass for this crap, the parents need a bit of a talking to also.
Right.
How, in this day and age, how do you hire a babysitter and not go look at her Twitter, Facebook, / social networking?
You know that man, okay.
You do a little research, you know.
Nobody does that. Everybody just wants to go, oh, they're such a good kid. Oh, you know, they're in my church. Oh, here they came. Or really it's, oh, maybe it's last minute. I have to go work. You're my only option. You're a neighbor. I've never understood that because I've never grown up in a tight, big city community. By that I mean, you know, apartment buildings, those kind of things where you just knock on the door and Mrs. Smith and 4C can watch the kids. I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. I live two doors down from my mother-in-law, and I rarely ever do that.
Sure.
And I know her. Yeah. You know, I don't grab that, but I understand that's life. So there's no judgment there. But yeah, when you're a babysitter, when you're supposed to be taking care of these four kids,
man,
and you're out drinking, you're out, period.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
You know, for any reason. I mean, maybe the kids say go to Walgreens, whatever. I don't know. But it's bad judgment, and here's what's wrong with our site. You're talking about doing the research. Nobody does that. Nobody. Everybody's getting so more and more self-centered, more and more focused on what, well, I don't care. I just got to do this. Or they just assume things, and they don't know any better, and they should. My wife and I have had that problem since we had our first kid. We're like, how are you like that? And even now, you know, I've got an 11-year-old, about to be 10-year-old, and a 5- and a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And so they're all in different things, and we go there, and we see kids who are 10 years old just dropped off at something. And I'm like, okay, there's within reason. I remember being, I'll say 10. It's an age I can remember that was old enough to kind of follow the rules.
Yeah.
But it was a small southern town, and there's two places my mom might drop us off. The American Legion Pool, and you had to pay to get in $1, $2 or whatever, and they had lifeguards. And there was nowhere else to go. It was kind of on the outskirts of town. There's nothing else around it. So what are you going to do if you leave?
Right.
Walk half a mile to wherever the next thing is. And there was, the next thing was nothing you wanted to go to. So we did that. And that was kind of the babysitter. She'd give us 2 or 3 hours. And we'd go and play in the pool, and the lifeguards would be honest. And there were parents who were there who were probably in the church that we were in, or who worked with somebody else who knew us. You know, is one big church, one big school, one private school. It's a small town. You could do that. The other place she would drop us off at is the skating rink. We used to get dropped off on Saturday mornings at the skating rink, and now I can't even fathom that. And I know it's a different world than what I grew up in, and I grew up in a suburb of a big city, but you've got to take care of your kids. You've got to be aware of what is going on in your life and your children, and I don't get this not vetting people. So this girl, go back to this teenager who was drunk at least. She's facing charges of DWI, child endangerment, and a possession of a controlled substance. But get this. This is from the article. Get this. Marcy's reported response to the officer who responded to the messy scene she caused is on an advanced level of stupidity. So what if I had a few drinks? She is quoted as saying,
right.
That's what people my age do, you expletive loser.
Jeez. Now,
yeah, it's crazy.
There's a school of thought in society that says that today's younger generation is growing up overly entitled. Would you call this an example of that? She felt entitled to say things like that and have that kind of behavior.
I think that ignorance more than entitlement.
Maybe, but
ignorance to repercussions of things. Ignorance to considering other people. Because to me, entitlement is, no, I understand it's going to piss you off. I understand that you're one of the little people, but I'm entitled to do whatever the hell I want. Whereas she sounds like she's coming from that, this is what everybody does. Isn't this the way of the world? Like, no, you're about to find out what the way of the world is.
Well,
you know,
hopefully she'll take that lesson.
Tying this back to Found. We're about to put this. I'm about to record a little bumper up front going, hey, no, guys, listen to this Found featured throughout the whole piece, because what kind of note do we think we would have found on another car from her.
Oh, good God.
No, even better. She's in the bar. This is the found note. This is okay. The found note. She's in the bar, and the kids are just sitting in the car, and there's a little note in the windshield going, nope, they're cool. I'll be back. They got their tablets. Shut the hell up. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
That's her found note on her. That's the note on her.
Even more, getting a beer back in a sec.
Yeah. All right, here's some more chaos. Here's some more headlines. Here we go. This is from the New York Post today, and this one, of course, attracts my attention for various reasons that should become obvious in the article. This weed-friendly gym will let you smoke, eat, and rub pot on your body.
Wait, gym?
Gym. Not like gymnasium. Like gymnasium, okay. Like workout. Not like,
just had to you
know,
qualify.
Not like my friend Mordant's gym where, you know, that's J-I-M, I'm saying. Here we go. Here's from New York Post. New York Post.
Right.
A former pro football star and advocate for athlete marijuana use has teamed up to open a gym in San Francisco that they say will be one of the first in the world to allow members to smoke pot while working out.
Hmm.
Former running back Ricky Williams, who played for the Saints, Dolphins, and Ravens, and Jim McAlpine, a snowboard company executive, said Power Plant Fitness also will offer edibles and topical gels for those who don't like smoking the plant. They say using pot while exercising will help them focus and relax. And I'm going to stop there. What? No. Come on, Churchy. Tell me.
No. I'm just, okay, look. Ain't no saint over here. I have a certain level of experience with the stuff.
All right.
And, man, don't know that I'd ever make it to the gym. I'm saying.
So I don't think you're supposed to start before you get to the gym. I think you're supposed to be there working out, and that's part of a regimen. Now, I do remember Ricky Williams because he always got in trouble in the NFL for not passing his tests. And I know Jim McAlpine only by name because I'm slightly familiar with the snowboarding community, mm-hmm. and I know about that stuff.
Yeah.
I get where they're saying. I'm going to go on with the story, and I'm going to give you some of my thoughts here on it.
Okay.
And again, we're giving you headlines that you could talk about. These are discussion points. You don't take my point of view. You go, let's take this headline and maybe some of the thoughts I threw at you.
Yeah.
And then you ask people and you discuss, and it can be fun. And you're the hero of the office by talking about something other than damn politics all the time. Sure. And you're voting for.
To get all woo-woo about it, Chaos and Coffee is about starting conversations.
It is. Yeah. It is a little bit. And it's about me having some chaos that I like to share.
With your coffee.
And highlighting weed stories. So members of the gym, which plans to open this year, will need a medical marijuana prescription to join. But that could change if California voters legalize recreational pot in November. I personally use it for focus. It's not about getting high. It's about keeping my mind engaged in the activity I'm in, says McAlpine, who organizes the 420 games. Athletic events aiming to stop the stigma against pot use. And I can get behind that. Carla Lowe, founder of Citizens Against Legalizing Marijuana, a political action committee based in Sacramento, said it's not clear how the drug affects the body, but there's zero evidence that marijuana helps you focus. There's evidence that it makes you dopey. What are you talking about? I would ask what you're smoking, but you're obviously not smoking anything because you're so wound up and wrong.
Sure.
That's not even funny. That's the thing that kills me, is that's the stereotype and the stigma. Is that if you smoke weed, you just sit around the couch, do nothing.
Right.
That is not true. I know so many creative people that use it to help focus on the project they're working on right now. I know so many I know the athletes help use it to keep that body loose. So when you work out, because if you're rigid and working out, that's damaging.
Right.
And that's why there's a warm-up period and this and that and the other. One, there's probably no legal, there's no legitimate studies, let's just say, because it's an illegal drug.
Sure.
And it's stigmatized, and they're not going to get the funding they need to study the effects of positivity on it.
And
they're,
one hopes that in the states where it's been legalized, that those studies are being conducted right now at this moment.
Right.
So at least in the future, we'll have that information.
Yes. And then, but she goes, but so wait, you just said there's zero evidence. You didn't say there's zero. She says there's zero evidence. There is evidence to make you dopey. What? Because you caught your teenager masturbating on the couch? You know? That's not evidence.
Right.
And that's good. Oh,
Do you think we'll ever get past the stigma of the stereotype?
Yeah.
Will we ever move beyond that? Or is it always just going to, and is it going to take a whole generation to make that happen?
It could make a whole generation to make that happen.
Yeah.
Because look at the alcohol. I mean, I liked watching Boardwalk Empire, even though it's a fictional recreation of it all. But it showed that the prohibition and how they were dirty people. And crime, when you made that illegal, crime went with it. I mean, it became a huge criminal endeavor, which is the war on drugs. We have that problem. Am I saying legalize everything? I'm reporting a news story. You say what you want to say about it. You have that discussion. What I am saying is, yeah, I think once the next generation relaxes more and more and they start having real discussions and not these fights, not these, well, there's this and there's that. No, how about we talk about it? How about we oh, yeah, you want to prove it? Let's all put up some money and get a serious study done by a couple of different independent agencies.
Let's talk facts.
Exactly. You know, let's figure this out.
I think as much as I love the old culture built up around weed and marijuana and grass and you know whatever the hell else you want to call it, bottom line is we've moved beyond Cheech and Chong. We've moved beyond the fabulous furry freak brothers. It's not that culture anymore. You know, there is, and to take the gym story that you just read a little bit more seriously than I did at the start, there is the community that frequents Whole Foods and I don't want to call them the health food community, but I don't have a better word for it right now. But the people who take their health and their lifestyle seriously are adopting marijuana for its health benefits that it clearly has. You know?
And that's the thing, too. Going back to the story here, athletes, more and more athletes, especially after they leave their career, they can talk about it more openly or more open about, I do this drug. Yeah, there's some okay, I'm not going to say that. This seems like there are some things. Muscle protein is a legal thing, and that's a drug of sorts, and that's designed to for workout guys to build up workout muscles.
Right.
You know, that's legal. At some point before, everything's legal before it becomes illegal, right? She had steroid use. She had blood doping. You had all this other stuff. That is not, some of it's not illegal. There are legal steroids. Mm-hmm. Okay, one, steroids is a classification of what a drug does, by the way, just for your education. As a former paramedic, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
We give steroids for spinal cord injury. We give steroids for breathing problems. Steroids are a classification of what it does to the body. We hear steroids in a gym setting, and we think you're pumping up your muscles. Some of it is. There's human growth hormone. That's technically, I believe, legal, but some sports regulate it out of their system.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? That kind of thing. So this I can tell you, it does help you focus. It helps you narrow in. And what they're talking about, you're talking about athletes who take their health seriously, who are still, they're building a gym, and you can't just build a gym to, oh, this is going to be fun. We're going to eat pot brownies. Oh, so we had a quick little hiccup. That's what happens when you live. I've done that so many times. But you know what? We were at the end of that story. We're talking about the stigma. And so my answer back to you is yes. I think as more and more legitimate, and I use floppy bunny ears for that, but more and more legitimate people come out and say, shut up. I do this. This is what's good for me. And then we start getting scientific studies. Just like alcohol, people still preach against it, but it's legal. Cigarettes, people still preach against it, but it's legal. And depending on where you are, there's always going to be a stigma. There's going to be a stigma because you're looking at your phone instead of talking on a microphone. You know,
sure.
So, but ultimately, as a society, I'm just picking on you a little bit.
I know.
But as a society, I think, the stigma will go. Now, here's the found note for this one. The found note for this one, personally, for me, is going to be to the political activist group who says there's no thing that says this makes you better. My found note for her is just, hey, baby. Let's Netflix and chill. Have one on me. And tape to it is a blunt. There you go. I just blow in your face for a second. But that's not a great found note, but that's all I could come up with because she irritated me. But here's this one. I want you to listen to the story, Mike. You're going to come up with the found note for this story.
All right.
But this is our last story of the day. It is Colossal Noah's Ark Comes to Life in Kentucky.
Okay.
What does that say to you when you hear that headline?
Well, first of all, and man, I shouldn't do this, but use the word Kentucky at the end of any given sentence, and you're going to get a chuckle from me.
So. I know, right? When that is Southern or Southern gets, because the pronunciation, right, I believe is Kentucky.
Sure.
And
it always comes out Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And you always got to use this here tone of voice and, you know, that particular stereotype.
I'm trying to think if I've actually known anybody in Kentucky. Oh, yeah, Travis Jones.
Travis Jones.
He's in Kentucky. Yeah, we're still making fun of you, dude. It's cool.
Hey.
But this is from my wife.
Don't ever change.
This is from my wife.
Oh, Aaron sent that to you. Hi.
Aaron sent this.
Hi, Aaron.
Aaron's contributed this story today. So, yeah, that headline, let's see, where is it from? On MSN under Lifestyle. It's Colossal Noah's Ark Comes to Life in Kentucky. A new full-scale replica of Noah's Ark is set to open in Williamstown, Kentucky, Thursday. The biblically accurate tourist attraction named the Ark Encounter, built by the group, and the group's name is Answers in Genesis, costs more than $100 million to build and is believed to be the largest timber frame structure in the world. Answers in Genesis President CEO and CEO Ken Ham told Fox Business, networks, whatever. He expects his structure built by 100 Amish craftsmen. Oh, it's not even built yet.
So plans are in place.
I thought that was a real picture. No, that I don't know. The way this is written is what? No, built. Sorry, built, and as in past tense. All right.
Okay.
It helps if I can read past the third grade level. Built by 100 Amish craftsmen with 3.3 million board feet of timber over 6 years.
Wow.
To be an economic boost for the Kentucky economy. Now that, the wow that you had, I'm there too. I mean, Amish craftsmanship is beyond. I mean, awesome and amazing.
Borderlining magic.
Right. And the fact that this thing made 100% of timber is amazing.
So the idea, I take it, would be to recreate the conditions that Noah would have had building the ark back then. No power tools. You know, to try and get it as quote unquote accurate as possible.
And, you know, Kentucky's been building for this for years.
Sure.
Because, you know, there were no showers on there.
Yeah.
So, and no bathroom. So, you know, when you smell like Kentucky, it'll be natural to the ark. It's going to be all right.
Okay,
that's part of that tourist attraction.
So, the only thing I can think of for the note that would be taped to the side of the ark would be, dude, this time, don't forget the unicorns. just wait a second for the unicorns to catch up with everybody else.
All right. So, here's the numbers back to the story. Here's the numbers they talked about with the economy. That we actually had outside consultants, who cares, did an economic study. They based, they said based on a minimum attendance of just 1.4 people a year, million people a year.
Right.
Not 1.4 people a year. that would be tough.
That 0.4 person.
Yeah, 1.4 million people a year. We think there'll be a lot more than that in, as far as the boost to the economy. There's no that. You didn't reference this correctly, sir. But they at least indicate that it'd be $2 million a year in revenue to the state.
From people going to see the exhibit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now here's an economic impact on the state over 10 years of $4 billion with a B, creating up to 20,000 jobs. I guess. But here, this is such a niche thing. And I know it's in the South.
It's a big niche. It's a big, huge niche, but...
It's a big, fat niche.
The question I have, are they going to try and stock it?
Well, I'm sure it has to be a zoo, right?
I mean, it has
to be...
Yeah, and what selections do you make? You know, do you bring in the elephants? Because people frown at that these days. You know, not to head off in that direction with the conversation, or do you you know, like statues set up?
And what else?
You know,
is there, like the
animals in the manger every time you do a Christmas display.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing.
Take a guess at the. Okay, honestly, that'd be effing stupid to do a manger display at Christmas because it's the Ark. It breaks the thing, right? I understand it's a religious thing, and religion is religion. But it breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think that would be dumb. But besides that, what attractions are you going to have? This thing cost $3 million to build in 6 years. Why should I go besides, oh my God, that's bad.
They're relying on that huge niche audience.
Well,
you know,
it's not an article, by the way.
The first year, they're probably going to make money hand over fist. But so my question is, what's the longevity of an exhibit like this? You know, once you've gone, are you going to come back? You know, it's not like Disneyland. It's not like Magic Mountain. Not like Six Flags over whoever.
Maybe there's rides. Maybe there's digital.
Maybe there's something built around it that we don't know about. That article wasn't as informative as it might have been.
Right.
Not to criticize the author because I don't write articles. But, you know, could have told us a few more things.
Yeah, and of course, it's one of these articles that has a video with it, so I think there might be more in the video, which I'm not going to watch because I don't do that.
Well, I hate to do this to you, man, but they're preparing the hook off on stage, right?
Not quite yet.
No?
Because we had that break.
They're going to give us extra time for the breakdown? Okay, all right.
So there's one last thing we'll talk about.
Okay, cool.
But one last thing I do want to ask is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was Bible Land for a while.
I heard about it, don't know anything, but that reference has crossed my radar.
The rest of the world. And they started Bible Land, I can't remember, I think in North Carolina or Tennessee, somewhere in the South where you would put Bible stuff.
Got it.
And it failed miserably because, to be honest, churches still want Disney.
Sure.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
And
well, how fun is the Bible? You know, when you strip it, if you strip it down, Bible's not a good time. You know, so gosh, translating a lot of the iconic stories in the Bible to an amusement park really doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
I agree. Now, I would go to see this just passing through just to see the structure and know that it's hand built and everything else. It's amazing. Beyond
being a curiosity piece, I have no interest.
Take a guess at the entrance fee.
Oh, man. Something probably huger than it ought to be.
Yeah, absolutely. $40 for an adult.
Oh, my God.
To get into this. Now, World of Coke is like $20 for an adult. Sure. And I know the World of Coke, I'm living with Coca-Cola.
And
I've seen the history, and there's a little ride, and there's a fun movie, and there's all that.
Yeah.
Now, I hope I'm not leaving with elephant poop at the Ark.
Wasn't Bible Land created, or at least the inception of it, came about during the heyday of the televangelist?
I agree. I think so, yeah.
So that might have had something to do with something, because the televangelist thing was huge until all of a sudden they were real people with real foibles and
scandals. As long as they run like a business, it'll probably be successful.
Yeah.
But if you're just following people. So I want to do a loss note because don't forget the unicorns.
Darn it. Just wait a second. Let them get on board.
I'm trying to think of I can't think of a good one, but I like this idea. I know that's not what they do. Their whole show is they found a note, they read it, and they try to make up the story around it.
Right.
Whereas we went the opposite. My show, and Mike's a nice guest, and I love that you're here. Thank you, sir. My show is Here's the Headlines, Here's the Discussion, and I thought this was a cool thing to integrate into the show for today because we're here at Podcast Movement and those kind of things. But one last thing about still acknowledging the serious news going on in the world right now, that news of the Dallas shooting and the police officers. We have to stop the fear. You know, that's my discussion point for that right now because we still don't know the news. The numbers keep changing of how many were killed and how many people are injured. They have suspects or they've caught some suspects. One suspect's dead. Those kind of things. And it's going to keep flooding in. And that's all you're going to hear on the radio and the TV news for a while. So to give you a discussion point to talk about it is we have to stop the fear. We have to treat this like a war in the sense of we have to find a treaty. We have to bring the opposite factions to the table directly to talk to each other. How do you do that when it's Black Lives Matter? And it's police officers around the country, and it's so spread out. I don't know. I'm going to say one last thing about conversation. And to me, it plays into the secret of what people attract, mean positive or negative.
Sure.
When you're focusing on not just – because it went from police officers kill people to white cops kill black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not arguing with that. You go case by case. That's been the case.
Then it became cops assassinated by snipers.
But in the whole conversation.
But it's all in the phrasing. It's all in the.
Right. But the truth is, it did go from police brutality, we have to stop this, to it escalated to white cops are killing black people. And in those cases, they were. So you can't argue the facts. And I'm not arguing the facts. But here's what I'm saying. We got to watch our words. And we need to change the conversation and circle around how do we fix this?
Yeah.
How do we change this? Serious conversations about how we change this. Because what are we seeing now? When it was one white cop killing one black kid and no excuses.
Sure.
You made it. White cops are killing black people and Black Lives Matter. And what's happened since? Oddly enough, a whole lot more white cops are killing black people. That's the wrong way we want to go.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to go that direction. We have to figure out how to change that conversation. Maybe bring it back to, police training's out of control. The reactions are out of control. There's multiple deaths this week that we were talking about in our hotel room earlier.
Sure.
And we're like, the common core seems to be in all of it, fear.
Yeah.
Fear.
And we've media rubbing salt into the wound.
Yeah.
Media rubbing, just making the situation worse while trying to put eyeballs on a TV screen.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that escalation that you're talking about, that descriptive escalation of the situation is strictly the media blowing a thing up and making it more and more sensational. And it's wrong. It makes the situation worse because people look at what's happening on the TV screen as gospel.
Right.
And they take and run with it in their own lives.
I do believe now our time is up, but you're absolutely right, Mike. And that's the principle of driving, is if you stare at something on the side of the road, you're going to drift towards it and crash into it.
Right.
And that was long before anybody knew what the hell the secret was. You know, that's, so we got to stop staring at white cops killing black kids or black people and start focusing on the larger problem of how do we change this. So you can find more of me, Rock God of Podcasting, on Facebook, facebook.com/Rock God of Podcasting. Twitter is at Rock God of Pod. You can find the show Chaos and Coffee at facebook.com/Chaos and Coffee. And Blog Talk Radio is the home base for Chaos and Coffee. blogtalkradio.com/Chaos and Coffee. And Mikey.
And before we sign off, just want to take a second and give a nice thank you to the gang at Buzzsprout. Check them out, buzzsprout.com. If you're a podcaster, see what they can do for you. They gave us the booth space today for free.
They have the microphones. They have the computer. They have the, it's a little bit, you'll have pictures that people have been taking of us.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. And we definitely thanks to Buzzsprout for making this happen today. All right. This is the Friday edition of Chaos and Coffee. And I'll be back Monday morning with more news and headlines and things you can discuss.